Chapter 5. We coasted from the island across my spiritual sea, and the waves lapped at the sides of the boat as we sailed along. I could feel the mist of the water from the hull, and I went just fast enough to keep Karis's cage above water. Well, mostly. He didn't drown, at least, which wouldn't have bothered me, but I had a feeling he'd be more use if he stayed alive.
So, now you can use each of their abilities?
Mariah asked suddenly, as we got closer to the shore and the spirit cocked her head to the side with curiosity. Yeah, I confirmed. I've never gained so many powers in such a short time, so I'm still trying to figure it all out. I have precognition from Rana so I can see the paths an opponent could take, and the automatic healing and swiftness from Malo, which are pretty easy to figure out since they don't require any kind of activation.
And the ability to hit your prey,
the spirit wondered. Yep, got that too, I nodded. I haven't used it yet, of course, but I'll definitely want to try it out soon. I need to know how it works if I need to use it in any battles. Just then, the boat slid onto the sand of the shore, and the cage skidded up behind us with a lap of the waves. Karis gripped the bars and spat out a mouthful of water before he gasped for air. How was the ride? I smirked, as I swung my body over the side of the boat and into the shallow water with a splash.
Memorable,
the bow spirit croaked with a glint of hatred in his blue eyes. Great, I said with a grin. You'll have plenty to tell your siblings about when you join them. Karis grimaced as I grabbed the rope from the boat and dragged him closer to the other spirits, and the Sundex and Eternal Flame spirits looked flabbergasted as I pulled the cage up next to theirs and took a step back.
Brother,
Malo nearly whispered with wide eyes.
You have been bested?
Oh, gods, what do we do?
Rana moaned.
This is a disaster. We must do something.
There's nothing we can do. The dragon has defeated us all. How did he defeat you?
The flame spirit wondered.
You are a mighty warrior, and no one has ever been able to survive one of your attacks. Did he use his powers against you? Oh, gods, did he use my power? I no longer can heal without effort, so I know the dragon has taken my ability. He must have used it against you.
I'll prefer not to discuss the details of my failure,
his brother replied, and averted his gaze with his nose up in the air. I wouldn't either, I chuckled, before I turned back to Mariah. Now, we need to find somewhere else to put them without taking them out of my spiritual sea. They need to stay here, but I don't want to see them every time I come to meditate.
Me either,
the sword spirit agreed.
Do you know of a place here?
I didn't even know my core island existed. I'm just going to make a special place for them. Shouldn't be much harder than making a boat, right?
Good idea,
she chirped. So I closed my eyes and pictured a cavern dug out of the base of the grassy mountain next to the beach. It only needed to be big enough for the cages, and it didn't have to be anything special since they didn't deserve some kind of mansion on the beach for the remainder of their lives. As soon as I opened my eyes, I was ready to take the trio to their new abode. I walked back over to the golden cages and weaved the rope into Rana and Malo's cages, so all three were linked together. Then I knotted the rope securely against the one I held, and I yanked on it to tighten the bond.
Where are you taking us?
Karis demanded as he grabbed the bars and pressed his face to the side of the cage.
I won't be kept in another case like you built in the cavern.
You're going to a new hiding place, I said with a shrug. I'm just following orders here.
"'Tis nothing to worry about,'
the bow spirit announced to his siblings over his shoulder.
"'We've been hidden away before, and we can do it again.'
"'Yeah, but this time we'll be, you know, forever,' I smirked. "'And you won't be enjoying the beach view. I have a much better place in mind for you.'
"'You do?'
Rana asked as she chewed her bottom lip.
"'Do you want to kill us?'
"'I want to, but I'll keep you alive for now.' So let's get to your new hiding place. As Mariah cocked her head with curiosity, I threw the rope over my shoulder and dragged the captured spirits across the beach and into the grass. I went left along the base of the mountain, and exactly where I expected, the mouth of a cave waited for its new occupants. The interior was dark, though some light from outside squeezed into the space. I pulled the cages inside, and I conjured a torch and lit it with a fireball to hang on the wall. I pulled the rope free, and then I pushed each cage up against a different wall, so they couldn't reach each other. "There you go," I announced, as I dusted my hands off. "Home sweet home."
"We are not pleased with these arrangements,"
Rana said with a smug expression as she looked around the room.
"We need something less constrictive, and definitely with more light."
"Well, I was not pleased with some old spirits trying to take over my power," I growled. "This is what happens when you fuck with a dragon, and I'll teach you how to respect me." All three spirits gasped as my voice rumbled through the cave, but I turned on my heels and strode out into the sunlight before they could say another word. And I could feel the surge of all the old magic swirling around inside me. I was more powerful than ever, and the knowledge left me feeling a little heady. I defeated all the relic spirits, and now I held all their magical abilities within me. It was strange to feel the combination of old magic and new magic, though. It was almost like looking at two sides of the same coin. Then the power seemed to expand, and I had to stop and take a deep breath. I was worried about one person holding all of the relics before, and so were the gods when they took them away. I knew they had a ton of power from the moment I'd seen the Sundex, so what made me think I was the right person to handle all of it? What if their power corrupted me somehow? I was suddenly overcome with anxiety at the thought of the gods for this world getting pissed off that I'd kept the power for myself. They could just smite me if they wanted to, right? Or maybe not. What if I was becoming a god?
"My lord?"
Mariah's voice broke through my inner thoughts.
"Are you all right?"
"Huh?" I looked up, and I could feel beads of sweat drip down my forehead while I wrung my hands together.
"You seem to be quite tormented,"
the spirit said softly.
"Do you need to sit down?"
"No," I muttered and shook my head. "I need to figure out what to do with all this shit. It feels like I have so much power rushing around inside my head." As if on cue, the waters of my spiritual sea began to churn with discomfort, and several waves crashed over the shore. The wind picked up and blew small sandstorms around the beach, and dark clouds seemed to appear out of nowhere as shadows passed over the sand at our feet.
"Perhaps some meditation?"
Mariah suggested as she looked up at the churning sky overhead. "Eventually," I agreed. "I think the first thing I need to do is talk to the person who helped me understand my power and how to access my spiritual sea."
"Who is that?"
She frowned and looked at me curiously. "My dad," I replied. "It's time to get back to my roots. I hoped Ruslan would know exactly how to help me work through my new powers. He'd help me understand my spiritual sea and how to cultivate, and he was a skilled cultivator himself, not to mention a wise old fox. Since we'd already planned to go back to Hatra, it would be easy to continue with that plan, and I could talk to him about everything that had happened, including the new abilities."
"You know best, my lord,"
Mariah agreed as she dipped into a curtsy. "Let's get back then," I murmured, and took her hand.
"Do you wish me to join you in physical form?"
the spirit asked with her head still lowered. "Of course," I replied with a smile. Before I could take another breath, the sword spirit and I stood in the cavern where I'd reached for the bow. It seemed like days had passed since I started to pull the bow of Wellston from its case, but I couldn't tell much of anything while we were underground in the catacombs. The artifacts clattered to the ground in front of us, and the sound echoed around the cavern to announce our arrival like a set of crashing cymbals.
"Ah, Lord Evan!"
Aliona squealed and wrapped her arms around my neck. She must have been standing in front of my physical body while I fought the spirits, and I could only imagine all of my companions had been waiting impatiently for my return.
"Oh, gods, you're back!"
Polina cried out from just beyond the princess.
"You're safe!"
Marina chirped.
"The battle is over!"
Trina declared.
"And obviously Lord Evan won! We knew he would!"
All three dryads rushed over to hug me as well, and then Aaliyah, Ravi, and Laika followed suit. All of my women had their arms wrapped around me, and I chuckled as I tried my best to hug them all back.
"We were so anxious,"
Laika murmured, and her furry gray tail swished around behind her.
"We didn't like letting you fight a battle alone, but we couldn't do much from out here."
"I'm okay. It's fine," I assured them. "Don't worry."
"We got all our worrying out while you were gone.
Aaliyah mumbled against my sleeve.
Now we're just relieved. So, what exactly happened?
Naomi asked from just outside the hugging circle.
You've been standing in that same place for hours like a statue. You didn't move, and your breathing was so light.
And how did it happen?
Aliona wondered, as all the women took a step back.
I've never seen someone go into their spiritual sea without trying, nor while simply standing up. It was eerie to look into your eyes. They stared into nothing, and I wanted to come help you. But Mariah assured us you were handling the situation just fine. So now we need to know what happened.
The spirit of the Sundex, Rana, said it happened when I brought her closer to the bow, I explained. She said it gave her the last boost of power she needed to move from my storage into my spiritual sea, but she wasn't expecting me to show up there, too. We basically arrived on the beach of my spiritual sea at the same moment.
How did you know she would be there?
Ravi asked, and her blue eyes were wide with wonder as my women spread out around me like they were waiting for story time. I didn't, I shrugged. It must have been some kind of natural instinct. As soon as I got there, she said most people don't know when she's about to attack them. So I had to defend myself against her. She put up a good fight, but I knew I had to come out on top somehow. Once I kicked her ass and made her bow down to me, I realized I could fight each of the relic spirits, and that would be one less thing for me to worry about with the princess carrying part of the celestial triad.
She bowed to you?
Naomi's magenta eyebrows shot up with surprise.
They are very old magic that typically can't belong to anyone, yet you were able to become her master? Why would she do that?
Because I won, I replied with a smirk. After I had Rana dead to rights, she agreed to bow to me. So then Mariah brought the Eternal Flame in next.
What was that spirit like?
Trina asked. Malo was a bit of a challenge since he could automatically heal himself. I scratched my head as I remembered the spirit's tenacity in battle. Every time I injured him, he was quick to heal and go back to sending animals after me. Lucky for me, I had Mariah to help, and she used some of her power to shock him long enough for me to trap him.
Shock him?
Marina repeated as her green lips pursed into a frown. She, used electricity? I fumbled for an explanation. Like harnessed lightning. It was cool. Anyway, she hurt him longer than I had been, so it made it harder for him to heal. And it worked, but the bow was the biggest challenge of them all.
Did it have the same power as this?
Polina wondered as she gestured to the physical bow on the ground. Yes, plus he kept conjuring animals to fight us off, so he could get to my core where he thought I'd become weaker and give him an advantage. But I was stronger than he thought I would be.
Of course you were,
Marina giggled as she squeezed my bicep.
Dumb old spirits,
Trina agreed.
Thought they could take on the sexy badass dragon.
Polina scoffed and rolled her eyes.
Don't forget about the best part,
Mariah whispered, and her eyes were alight with excitement as we retold the battle story. Dragging Karis through the water, I grinned, as I pictured the pompous spirit spitting out water once we landed.
No! Your skill!
Oh, yeah, I assimilated all their powers.
Incredible!
Lord Valen sighed, and I jerked my head toward him. I'd nearly forgotten the lizard leader was in the cavern with us, but he was also watching me with a childlike excitement that matched my women's.
So what are all their powers? Nike asked with a glint in his silver eyes.
Precognition from the Sundex, I replied as I ticked them off on my fingers. Automatic healing and swiftness from the Eternal Flame, and target precision from Karis.
Amazing! My fellow noble nodded his head in appreciation. Those skills will most certainly be useful to you on the battlefield, brother.
Yeah, each time I assimilated the abilities, I used them against the next opponent, I replied with a grin. It pissed them off, but it worked for me.
So, what about these things now?
Aaliyah wondered and pointed to the artifacts. I leaned down and picked up the Sundex. I no longer felt the cold dread that had accompanied the relic before, and I turned it over in my hands to ensure the artifact was safe now. Then I gazed at the inscription for a moment before I handed it to Aliona. Pretty sure I'm the only one they matter to now, I replied,
but I don't want to take any risks. Let's keep the relic separate from my spiritual sea for now.
Yes, my lord.
The princess nodded and slipped the Sundex into her spatial storage. I leaned down and grabbed the flame and the bow, and she stored them away as well. I knew the relics didn't bother her like they'd bothered me, but I'd still feel much better once they were safely tucked away in the egg vault.
What do we do now?
Aliona asked. I think we should still put them inside the vault. Plus, I want to see my father and talk to him about everything, so we should get back to Hatra as soon as possible.
He will be so happy to see you.
The princess nodded knowingly.
I'm sure Valera and the others will be, too.
Well, Valera is going to be hit or miss, but I know one part of me she's missed for sure. The dryads giggled uncontrollably, though Naomi looked confused for a moment before she blushed and turned away. Valera was the only member of my harem who hadn't accompanied me on our campaign across Rama. She was home in Hatra, though she was pretty pissy about not getting to stay in her beloved canyons. She'd been caring for her sister's egg since the mage killed Valera's family before the egg hatched. And now she took care of our egg as well. She also claimed she only wanted to have sex with me to continue the dragon race. But I quickly figured out she'd been pregnant after our first encounter. So she'd enjoyed the many times we'd fucked afterward just as much as I did, though she hated to admit it.
And we can check on your egg,
Mariah pointed out with a smile. Yeah, I need to see how little Junior is doing, I agreed and chuckled. Valera hated when I called our egg Junior, so I did it as often as possible. And I can see Ilya and Ilyushina.
Oh, how they must have grown,
Aliona gushed as her amethyst eyes sparkled.
When should we pack our wagon?
Before we start packing, my lord,
Robbie started as she shifted shyly from foot to foot.
Could I ask you something?
Of course, Robbie, I replied and focused on her. What's wrong?
Nothing at all,
the phoenix said, but then she blushed and ducked her head.
I was just wondering if I could stay here in Kana and help. They have a lot of rebuilding to do, and I think I could be helpful with my knowledge of the desert. We were thinking the same thing,
Polina sighed.
We'd hate to leave them all alone to do so much work.
Trina and Marina nodded with sad expressions. Well, I think that's a great idea, I answered before I frowned. The only part I don't like is leaving any of my women here without a guard.
I can stay, Nike offered. I can help, too, if that's all right. You are my brother, and I'd be honored if you would trust me to keep your women safe.
You don't mind? I asked as I cocked an eyebrow at him. Are you sure?
I don't mind at all, the noble said with a shrug. I'll always do what is needed for you and for Rama.
If you're staying to guard the city, could I go to Hatra?
Naomi asked suddenly.
Would that be okay with you?
Several heads whipped around to look at her in surprise. You want to go? I asked, and my mouth fell open slightly.
Well, I've really only been on my magical book searches and then returned home. I'd love to explore another city.
Yeah, of course. You can come, see my city, meet Valera.
Oh, I don't want to intrude on the Crimson Dragon,
she interjected as she waved her hands quickly.
I'll just explore, if that's okay.
Nonsense. You'll be fine. Everyone will want to meet you.
Everyone?
The lizard mage squeaked, and her face clouded with second thoughts. But I wasn't about to let her stay here now.
If only half of us are going, I can create a portal,
Aliona suggested.
We would get there much faster.
And it would keep anyone from following us, I agreed. Let's do that, but first, we have one other important matter to handle.
What's that?
Aaliyah asked, as a concerned frown creased her face, and her long tail flicked back and forth behind her. Lunch, I declared, as my stomach rumbled. Everyone laughed, and I rubbed at my belly as I thought about how soon we'd be going home. It had only been a few hours since breakfast, but it had felt like days in my spiritual sea, and I was fucking starving. Probably from kicking ass all morning. Valen scurried ahead of us to tell the kitchen staff to start on lunch, and the rest of us walked behind him and up the stairs into the castle. As we headed down the hallway, I could already hear pots and pans banging around the kitchen as the cooks rushed around to prepare food. And by the time we sat down at the table, two servants were setting down baskets of bread and bowls of sweet honey butter.
Oh, yes.
I grabbed a roll and bit off a chunk to settle my angry stomach as we waited for the rest of our meal.
Lord Valen, where do you think we would be most useful in our efforts to help you?
Nike asked, as he picked up a roll and tore off a piece.
I think we should start with the homes,
the lizard leader replied, and he rubbed his chin in thought.
We have done several temporary repairs to ensure the buildings are standing, but if we get any sandstorms soon, those homes will not stand up to the wind.
We can figure out which houses are more likely to be affected by storms and work our way down,
Nike said, and I could practically see the gears of his strategic mind turning.
I do think the fields will be a high priority as well.
We can start there,
Trina volunteered as she bounced in her seat.
Yeah, we've already started some work on them,
Marina agreed.
It won't be too hard for us to expand on it so the crops flourish,
Polina said with a grin.
The people of Kana will be so grateful, Valen commended them. As will I. The rebuilding will take quite some time, though I do believe the citizens will be happy to help where they can.
Sounds like a good plan, I agreed, as the servants brought out the rest of the meal, and I could smell the platter of boar chops before I saw it. The gamey meat smelled heavenly, and my mouth watered as the staff set it down on the table. It was covered in some kind of brown and red seasoning that smelled like apples, and I resisted grabbing one immediately and ripping the meat from the bone. Another tray was filled with cubes of strongly scented cheese, and I held my breath as the servants set down the final trays of long green bananas. As soon as they stepped away from the table, I leaned forward and stabbed a pork chop to drop it onto my plate. Then I piled the cheese and fruit next to it and dug in. The first bite of meat to hit my tongue practically melted in my mouth, and the sweet juices dribbled down my throat. I groaned as I ate each bite, and I looked up when I heard the dryads giggling.
Is it good, my lord?
Polina asked as she tried to hold a serious expression.
Delicious,
I mumbled through a mouthful of meat. They snickered some more, and then everyone began to eat. Lunch was nearly silent, though Nike and Valen threw out ideas here and there about what to do while fixing up the city.
I'm going to go prepare a bag,
Naomi announced as she finished her plate.
Then I'll be ready to go.
I nodded as she darted out of the room.
I'm a bit surprised she wants to go with us,
Aliona murmured, just loud enough for me to hear.
I'm not. She's become a little more, interested in the last few days.
Ooh, are we expanding our family soon?
Oh yeah, I replied with a grin. We almost have her.
Aliona smiled just as Naomi breezed back into the room.
I'm ready,
the lizard mage announced.
Unless you don't want me to go anymore, of course. I can just stay here and...
Don't be silly,
Aliona interjected sweetly.
We all want you to come.
You do?
Naomi's amber eyes widened at the princess's knowing smile.
Of course. We'd love to have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah purred, and her orange eyes were hooded as she licked grease off of her full lips.
Most certainly.
Laika's voice was hoarse as her gray eyes fluttered.
We only wish we were coming now, too,
Trina pouted, and all three dryads nodded vigorously.
Yeah, I agreed as my grin stretched even wider. We would all love it.
Naomi's face flushed nearly as dark as her scales before she heaved her bag up onto the table with a thump.
Good. Well, I brought some books for the trip, just in case we need them,
she said to change the subject.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of things to do with our time, I countered with a quirked eyebrow. But they might come in handy.
I'll go ahead and start on the portal,
Aliona said as she stood up from the table.
Lady Naomi, would you like me to teach you?
Oh, that would be great,
the lizard demi-human replied as she threw her bag back over her shoulder. The two mages walked toward the doorway, and Aliona began to explain how the portal worked. Then they began to murmur words together, and within seconds, a purple and white shimmer appeared in the doorway. Then it shifted and waved until a misty view of the city of Hatra could be seen. I could just make out the base of the Lunar Palace through the entrance, and my heart raced at the thought of being home.
It's ready,
Aliona called out.
Let's do it,
Aaliyah declared as she pushed her chair back from the table.
Wait, Aaliyah, I said, and stood to grab her arm. You shouldn't go through first.
We didn't tell them we were coming, and I don't want anyone to think you're an intruder.
Yeah.
The lioness agreed, as her round ears flattened against her head.
I don't want them to send the Crimson Dragon after me.
No, you don't, I chuckled. I know you're excited, though, so you and I can go through together. Sound good?
Perfect.
She purred and winked. Lady Naomi, you can go through with Mariah, I directed. Then Aliona and Lyca can go and close the portal after we get there.
See you soon, Lord Evan,
Ravi exclaimed, and she waved excitedly from where she was seated beside the dryads.
Don't have too much fun without us,
Polina teased as I grabbed Aaliyah's hand. Wouldn't dream of it, I winked, and walked through the portal with the lion demi-human at my side. We stepped into the sunlight in front of the lunar palace, and as Aaliyah inhaled sharply, I had to pause for a few seconds myself to take it all in. Hatra was incredible. As the other four women walked through the portal behind us, I gazed left to right at the buildings that hadn't been there before, the bustling market, the dozens of new faces that now stopped and stared in awe, fear, or a combination of both. Then the whispers began to pass through the crowd as they tried to figure out who we were.
One of them has to be a mage.
Why are they here?
Someone went to tell Ruslan.
I quickly realized it wouldn't have mattered who came through the portal first. There were so many new people in the city now, most of them hadn't seen me in person either. Before I could announce myself, a head of blue hair bobbed through the crowd, and the people parted to allow a young fox demi-human to get to the front.
Lord Evan!
Afra cried out as she grinned from ear to ear.
You've returned!
Afra! I sighed with relief at the familiar face. Oh, so good to see you.
And you, my lord!
The fox replied with a dip of her head.
And Milady!
Aliona stepped forward and embraced Afra while the crowd continued to murmur, though now the sounds were excited instead of worried. We'd been gone for several months now, and the population of Hatra had easily doubled, perhaps even tripled. I could see a variety of demi-humans, some dryads, a few humans, and several people with a pale pink skin that I hadn't seen before. My city had become home to so many new people, and I was grinning from ear to ear when the crowd parted again for Ruslan and Julia. My adopted parents were the elders of Hatra, though neither of them looked a day over 30. Ruslan's bright red hair gleamed in the sun, and his fox face was alight with excitement as he rushed forward and wrapped me up into a hug. Julia was right behind him with her brown hair tied back into a ponytail, and her pale blue eyes glistened with happy tears. She threw her arms around us both, and my inner dragon nearly purred with contentment. It was good to be home.
It's good to see you, Pops, I murmured against Ruslan's hair,
and I could feel his fox ears twitch as I spoke.
You didn't tell us you were coming home,
Ruslan finally huffed as he released me.
I figured we could surprise you, I chuckled, and I ran my fingers through my hair.
You need a haircut,
Julia teased, and she stepped back to look me up and down as she snapped open her signature fan and began to wave it around in front of me.
I know, Mother, I laughed. You can do whatever you want to it while I'm here.
Julia clucked her tongue and then looked over to Aliona, and the two women hugged tightly. Just then, another figure pushed through the crowd, and soon Moskal gripped my forearm in greeting. The human elder looked much like his sister, and his brown hair was cut in a shaggy style, while his pale blue eyes stared deeply into mine.
Lord Evan,
Julia's brother said in a soft voice.
Welcome home.
Thank you, Uncle, I replied before we let go. The city looks amazing.
Well, we had some really great plans to inspire us.
Ruslan flashed me a devilish smile as he unrolled a small stack of papers from his pockets.
My plans, you used them. You worked so hard on your ideas, and this is your city now,
my father replied.
So, of course we wanted to get as close as we could to your schematics.
Well, you've done an excellent job, I praised, as I gazed around at the buildings I could see. Most of the buildings here by the Lunar Palace had dragons carved into the stones or on metal plates attached to their fronts. The spiral-style roofs were tall, just as I'd designed them before, and the gray stones had been placed with painstaking care. A lot of hard work had gone into rebuilding the city, and I was proud to call it mine.
So have you,
Ruslan joked, as he finally looked past me at the other women in my party.
Who are these other lovely ladies? You seem to be missing a few.
Nike, Ravi, and the Dryads decided to stay in Kana, I explained. There's a lot of work to be done since the city was attacked by bandits.
Bandits?
Julia gasped.
Is everyone all right?
Yeah, I replied. But the town was torn up pretty badly. Buildings burned up, doors kicked in, all that shit. So they wanted to help put things back together.
Oh, terrible,
Ruslan said as he shook his head.
But back to my original question.
Oh, right, I chuckled, before I gestured to my lioness. This is Lady Aaliyah, one of the nobles from Tikal. She helped us initiate alliances between the three houses of Tikal, and then she decided to continue with us.
Lovely to meet you,
my father declared, as he kissed the lioness's clawed hand.
Andu,
Aaliyah returned with a smile that exposed her long canines. This is Mariah, spirit of the Sword of Hatra, I continued as I gestured toward the spirit.
Oh!
Julia gasped as her blue eyes raked over the spirit.
You regularly travel in human form? Oh no, m'lady.
Mariah shook her head.
I have only recently learned how beneficial it is to be with my master while in my physical body.
I see.
Ruslan winked and then nodded toward Naomi. Lady Naomi is a mage from Kana, I said. First she tried to kill me for going there, but she doesn't hate me as much now.
I never said I hated you,
Naomi interjected with a pout.
I just don't trust people, which is understandable,
Julia assured her.
My son, however, is worthy of your trust, Lady Naomi. He is,
she agreed, and I turned to her with surprise before she averted her gaze with another eye roll. It's okay. It's not the first time I've had to prove myself, which reminds me, I need to go check in on Valera and Junior.
Well, listen, my son,
Ruslan began, and his smile abruptly dropped as his ears flattened against his head.
We need to talk to you before...
Is everything okay? I cut him off, as I looked up at the palace with worry. The eggs?
Yes, yes, the eggs are fine,
the fox replied with a wave of his hand.
It's just that...
Evan!
I heard a familiar voice roar from inside the palace, and Ruslan winced. Apparently... The Crimson Dragon was pissed.